Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
If you would, just go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. We started a series last week. Can I get some volume on this? Recognizing open doors. And how many know it's important? There's so many places in the Word of God where it talks about a door of faith was opened, the Lord opened a door. And we need to understand, what do doors look like? How do we recognize how to walk through them? How do we walk through them? How do we create more doors? Well, we're going to get into that in this series, and I believe it's going to minister to you. Because when we're talking about living as a whole man, folks, this is part of living as a whole man. We've got to understand how to live. What does life look like when we live out of our spirit? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Well, first of all, before I get into that, I just want to mention this also. I meant to say this when I first got up here. So just kind of push pause for a minute. I know that you're at 2 Corinthians, but hold your finger there and go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. This is really completely message unrelated, so we can just edit it out. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and look at verse 1. It says, "These are the words which Moses spoke to all of Israel across the Jordan." What's the next three words? "In the wilderness." And he said, "It's 11 days from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir," this is verse 2, "to Kadesh Barnea." And then he goes on and says it's the 40th year. What a contrast. It's 11 days, and then it mentions, okay, now it's 40 years later. But notice what he says here in verse 6. "The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb and said, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain.'" Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain." See, why do you have to read that for? Well, go to verse 7. He says, "Turn and set your journey." I sent an email out this last week, and I asked you guys to stand with us and believe with us for an increase of 80 people. You say, why did you ask for a specific number? Why not? We ought to have at least a goal, right? Because we've stayed long enough at this mountain. Yes. So it's time for us to turn and set our journey. And then I love what verse 11 says. He says, "May the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold." Everybody say 1,000-fold. "More than you are, and bless you, just as he has promised you." And the reason I read these things is because I just want to let you know that we are actually in the process of looking at buildings. And get ready. Because we've stayed long enough at this mountain. And there are some things that the Spirit of God has promised us that we're going to pursue them. So we're going to take and we're going to turn and we're going to set our journey and we're going to believe God for a thousandfold. Because he's promised things, folks, whether you know this or not, he promised things concerning you before you even knew who we were. Before we even knew who each other was, the Spirit of God spoke to us about you. And he said some things in the last 20 years that he's yet to bring to pass. But he's bringing them to pass. But how many know anything that's got the fingerprint of God on it, it's not in the possible realm? Yep. I'll say that again. Anything that's got the fingerprint of God on it is not in the possible realm. If you go and scour the scriptures, you never find a place that he gives you what you can manage. He gives you and asks you to do something that you can't do it unless he's right in the middle of it. So, just to let you know, this year is going to be a big year for this church because God has some things in his heart he wants to do, and we're actually looking at buildings, and God's going to be right in the middle of it. Right? So we're going to move on from this mountain, and we're going to set ourselves and set our journey and go. And we're going to believe verse 11. May the God, the Lord of our fathers, increase us a thousandfold more than we are and bless us, because he's promised us that. And I'm going to just say this to you. Whether it's you're believing God for some things in your own personal life or whatever, let me encourage you to see that through. You have to stop looking at the things. And you just got to look at him. And you got to keep keep your eyes on the whites of his eyes. And that's the only focus you got. Even if circumstances start turning and things start looking the way you want them to, you don't take your eyes off of him. You don't take your eyes off of him ever. He's our focus. His greatness, his loving kindness. So many places in Psalms, David talks about, I trust in your loving kindness. I sing for joy because you've dealt bountifully with me. So let me encourage you in these days to come that we just keep our focus on Jesus. And we keep our focus on his loving kindness, his trustworthy. He never leaves us, forsakes us, never leads us wrong. And we'll always come out on top. If we just keep our focus on him and not on situations, circumstances, and anything else around us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Speaking of recognizing open doors, we're going to talk a little bit today about practicing in the little things. Yesterday, it was an interesting day. I've been spending a lot of time just worshiping him, and I've in this lovely thing called an iPad, I have a collection of verses that really speak about his goodness and honor and value him and magnify his greatness, and so I've basically chained them all together. So I sit down a number of times with my iPad and my scriptures, and I just begin to worship him. I've talked to you about it before. But I actually do that, and I was doing that yesterday after an entire week of doing the same thing, just going from chapter 3 all the way forward, and a thought came in my head. Why don't you get off the couch and go get on the elliptical and do this? And my first thought was, Get behind me, Satan. No. At first I thought, I think I'm pretty comfortable here. And then I got a check. And I thought, you know what? No, I'm going to do that. I don't need to understand why. So I went and did it. I don't know whether you've ever tried to worship on an elliptical or not, but it's quite a feat. You got to keep your legs going, and you're going up like stairs, and you're like, you know, every once in a while, you know, raising my hand and I'm worshiping. I got some jam and praise and worship in my ears, and I'm just going for it. And it's a blast, and I did it, and it was great. And you know, I'm not saying Jesus showed up at the end in the room, but the fact is, my point is this, and we'll kind of get into this a little bit today, that many folks cry out to the Lord and they say, oh Lord God, use me. Bless me, Lord, use me. You know, and it's almost a badge of honor that we get a bunch of people in a room and we get everybody to raise their hand and they all cry out, use me, use me, use me. But the challenge is if we've not trained ourselves on the little things that really may not mean anything at all, you won't catch the time when it needs to be noticed. You know, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me this morning when I was thinking about these things, and he said this, and I'm really kind of starting at the end of your notes, and we're going to go back to the first part of your notes, but he said this, if you'll train yourselves to recognize and act on the things that come to you in your spirit now. And I didn't put this in here, but even if it's seemingly meaningless, how many know it really wouldn't have mattered one bit if I had got off the couch and got on that elliptical. But because I want to train myself to act on what comes in my spirit all the time, see, we won't, let me just read it again. If you'll train yourselves and recognize and act on that which comes in your spirit now, you won't be asking, Lord, use me, bless me later. Because you'll already have formulated a life that you already act on things he gives you. You know, God gets a bad rap for a lot of stuff. Well, God took that person out. No. What about the multiple times that the Spirit of God prompted that person to change what they were eating? Or they sat down at a buffet and they had a big old honking plate. And the Spirit of God says, you know, you don't really need all that. Why don't you just eat half of it? So we don't see all those instances where, see, the Spirit of God knows you're in from the beginning. And I'm not saying that as a freak me out thing. I'm saying, look, he's already seen you're in from the beginning, and he has good plans for us. He wants to bless us and bring us to an expected end. So then you scale that back to where you are present tense. He's trying to get you to act on things he puts into your thought process so that he can lead you to get you there. So when we're talking about opening doors and, you know, Lord, use me, and, you know, I want to, you know, it starts with the stuff that really doesn't matter whether you listen to it or not. Because really, at long range, it kind of does matter, because then you're either training yourselves. See, we're already training ourselves one way or the other. We're either training ourselves to completely ignore thoughts that come in our head, we override them and move on to something else, or we recognize, okay, I'm just going to act on, I'm going to see what the Spirit of God has here. Maybe nothing. He may just be training us to act on what he gets us. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, so I did it and all of a sudden the glory of God fell in the room and I fell on the floor and I couldn't get up. It doesn't have to be that at all. It could be just the fact that he's training us to pay attention to what he gives you. See, things that come out of your spirit show up as thoughts in your mind. I could have just blown off the get on the elliptical thought and moved on to something else. I had lots of things to do. But it's not, you know, for me, Yeah, I probably need to get on the elliptical just to get some things flowing, because I was sitting a lot last week. But the fact is, it's more than that. It's just, I just want to train. I want us to train ourselves to do the little things so that when we're up for a promotion or we have a business and we need a new idea or whatever, we've trained ourselves to recognize things that He gives us and we don't talk ourselves out of it. How many business people are out there, the Spirit of God gave them an idea and they said, no, that won't work. And they end up going bankrupt because they didn't recognize the idea that came from the Spirit of God would have taken them over to the top. He's already seen the end of it. He was trying to feed you the idea and get you to act on it, but you ignored it and blew it off and thought you knew better, and you just said, oh, that won't work. See, what did Jesus say? He said, man shall live out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Father. You know, we like to talk about ministry. We like to talk about, you know, getting a word from the Lord for people. But, you know, so much in your own personal life. See, it starts with you. It starts in your private time. It starts in your private time. You know, Jesus said this too. He said, to whom, it's in the parable of the sower and the seed. He said, to the one who has, more will be given. And he was talking about who has ears to hear. So when we're speaking of, you know, recognizing open doors, folks, a door for us could be something as simple as a thought in your head. Give you a new idea. A couple of weeks ago, one of the brothers said he wasn't feeling real good, and he thought, well, I'll just go to, well, I can get some echinacea. And then he had this debate in his head, well, why should I get echinacea? I can just believe God. And the Spirit of God said, why don't you get some echinacea? How many know God made that stuff? And there's a lot of stuff He made that He has absolutely no issue with you. If it's a blessing to the physical body. But the important thing in this scenario was, he could have blown it off and tried to go the spiritual route, and he wouldn't have recognized, he would have missed the door, and he would not have gone to the grocery store, and he wouldn't have went down the aisle, and he wouldn't have seen that woman who had an issue with her hip, and he wouldn't have got to lay his hands on her and pray for her hip and minister the word of the Lord to her, and she would have heard nothing. Isn't it interesting when you read, I guess we'll get to the notes eventually, but isn't it interesting when you read this, the story of the children of Israel going out of Egypt, isn't it interesting that there's one conversation you never see or never read about? And that's the conversation where Moses has all the children of Israel around, and they're in a meeting, and they want to know, okay, now Moses, once we're out of here, what are we going to eat? How often are we going to eat? Where's it going to come from? Did you notice that they had no details? They didn't need to know details. All they needed to know was, look, you take the blood, you put it on your doorpost, you get yourself in your house, you put your clothes on, your traveling clothes on, and be ready to go. That's all they needed to know. Did you see anybody objecting? Well, I'm not leaving here unless I know what the meal schedule is. There isn't any of that. Because, see, with the Spirit of God, you don't need to know the end. He already knows your end. The issue is, do you trust Him enough to go off of what He's telling you to do right now? And I'm telling you, folks, you have not seen a city like you'll see this city when they experience that Jesus really is alive, because we've trained ourselves in the little things when it doesn't matter. So that when we're out there living life in public, we don't have to beg God, use me, because we've already trained ourselves to key in on what He gives us all the time. Amen? Okay. Now that I've preached 3/4 of it, go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. I got so much I want to say, I just can't. I don't know if I can fit it in. Let me just expand your thought process here. Well, I'll save it for later. Verse 12. It says, "Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me," everybody say, "A door was opened." "In the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave, I went on to Macedonia." Now he's speaking of a situation where they were trying to go into all of these cities, which last week we talked about, they're actually located in Turkey now. And they kept getting a check. The Spirit of God kept saying, "No, not there, not there, not there." So finally, Paul had a vision one night, whether it was a dream or actually, you know, an open vision or whatever it was, and he was wide awake. It doesn't say, it just said he had a vision. And a man was standing in front of him and said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So the group that was with him, as soon as they got word of that instruction, they decided that they'd been called to go into Greece. So they went. And if you read what happened there, you find that one of the scenarios was they got put in prison and they were in the stocks and they were praising and worshiping God and all of the doors flew open. Now, the way it reads, it says that the jailer came in and he saw the doors open and he was going to draw a sword and kill himself. It doesn't tell you how long of a period of time those doors were open. They could have been open for 30 minutes. Nobody moved. They all stayed there. Now that in itself is a miracle, because you got prisoners in prison and the doors fly open. So he comes in and then he says, "What do I got to do to be saved?" And he ends up taking Paul and Silas and he washes their wounds and everything, and his whole entire family gets saved. So he's speaking of that situation in these verses, and he says, "You know, I had no rest in my spirit. I wasn't finding Titus." And so then he had the dream, or not the dream, but he had the vision. Whether it was a dream or not, we don't know. And they got their instructions to go into Greece, into Macedonia, so they went. But notice verse 14, it says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us." Everybody say, "Leads us." "In triumph." Can you see the association between the open door and the leading? Now, in this situation, it tells you flat out it was a vision. But it doesn't have to be a vision. The most common way that the Spirit of God leads us is through a knowing. Not even words. Did you hear what I just said? The most common way the Spirit of God leads the new man is not even necessarily through words, it's through knowing. He bears witness with our spirit. That's the most common way. So, if we train ourselves to recognize those and then act on them, you know, look, I'll be honest with you, there are times when I acted on promptings and it went nowhere. So what? Can you say we're just training? I remember a story that a brother said. He was out in the parking lot and there was a guy rocking toward him. And he said, he kept getting a certain name. I forget the name it was. We'll just for illustration purposes, we'll just say Tom. And so he kept getting this name Tom. And so he asked the guy as he walked up to the guy, and the guy's kind of like trying to avoid him. And he says, "Is your name Tom?" And the guy looked at him disgusted and said, "No," and kept on walking. And he said, Lord, why did you do that to me? Why did you tell me his name was Tom? He said, I just wanted to know if you'd step out. Because the issue is not the results, the issue is whether or not we'll step out. So in this verse, Paul is saying there was a door open to me. So they went to Macedonia, they went into Greece. And he goes on to say that God always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us. Everybody say manifests through us. The sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Now, I used to read this verse from a theological place. And I used to read it, and this is what it said to me. That He always leads us in triumph, and He manifests through us the sweet aroma of what we know about Him. That's not what that verse says. It's not even in connection with what that verse is saying. That verse is speaking of a specific situation where they were walking, trying to get the mind of the Lord on things, but they were in go mode. Right? They weren't all sitting around, face down on the ground, we got to pray about this thing. We just got to pray. They were in go mode, and the Spirit of God was saying, okay, no, don't go there. No, don't go there. The Spirit of Jesus didn't permit him to go into Bithynia. And then finally, Paul had a leading by a vision that said, a man is standing in front of him and said, come into Macedonia and help us. I've often wondered, I wonder if that man was the jailer. We don't know. Doesn't say. Could have been. He and his whole family got saved. But he says the Lord always leads us. The open door was the leading, and they followed, they walked through the door. And as a result of them walking through the door, He was able to manifest through them to everybody that they came in contact with that they know each other. Think about this, folks. When we walk through open doors, it allows Daddy to reveal to others our association with Him. The biggest challenge that the world has is they don't believe Jesus is alive, because all we ever do is talk about Him. Why don't we be willing to train ourselves to step through open doors and allow Him to confirm and manifest in the presence of others that you and He actually know each other. That's a radical concept. See, the world needs to know. They don't need to know about Jesus. They need to hear from Jesus. And so when we train ourselves to just be willing to open, to go through the doors that are open. The doors that are open are what? However He leads, if He puts a thought in your head. But because we trained ourselves in the little things, when was the last time when you lost your car keys, you stopped and said, Holy Spirit, where are those things? And let Him do it. He did that for me one time. I was in a couch at a store, and I didn't realize they fell out. You know, I was being a good husband. I lost my wife, so I sat down. Because I knew my wife would come looking for me, because I had absolutely no clue where she was. So I just sat there, and so finally she shows up. And I got up, and we left. I get outside the door, and I'm going like this in my pockets. Where's my keys? I thought maybe I locked him in the car, and I stopped. Holy Spirit, where are my keys at? And I'm not saying that it'll happen this way for you, but He will show you things where things are at. He actually showed me a picture of the couch and said, go look between the cushions. So I ran back. I didn't run. Kind of, you know, seen a grown man run through the store. could end up bad. Anyway, I went back to the couch and I looked, and I did exactly what he said. I separated the cushions, and there they were, right between the cushions. So we overlook just little things that he does, but Paul says he always leads us in triumph in everything. Ultimately, his goal is, because if we continue to let him lead us in triumph, that he wants to manifest through us the fact that you and him know each other. I'm chomping at the bit to see a city that experiences a people that he gets to show them that he knows them. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 16, he goes on to say, who's adequate for these things? Well, in the natural, everybody would say, nobody. But we're not in the natural. That kind of shows you where we all sing from. We, you know, not all. I'm just making general statements. But if we're singing about our inadequacies and, you know, how we're not worth it and how we're not this or that, then you're just telling on yourself that you don't live where Jesus lives. Because the whole adequacy thing is a non-issue. Who's adequate for these things? Nobody. And verse 17. For we are not like many peddling the word of God, not but as from sincerity. But as from God, this is how we live our life. As from God we speak in Christ, or you could say getting it from Christ in the sight of God. Think about that, friend. Well, think about what he's saying here. He says, this is how I live my life. This is how I live. And I walk through doors. I notice doors. And I walk through doors. Is because I've made a decision that the whole adequacy thing is a non-issue. Folks, let me tell you something. He goes on to say, I think it's the next chapter, he says he's made you an adequate servant or minister of the new covenant. Everybody say this. I am an adequate minister of the new covenant. And that new covenant is not talking about just a bunch of words. Because he on purpose compares the glory that surrounded the old covenant with the glory that's supposed to surround the new covenant and the ministering of that covenant. And he said the glory that is associated with ministering the new covenant is far greater than any glory that is associated with the old covenant. And he said, he's made you an adequate minister of that covenant. Well, somebody ought to be going, whoop, whoop. So he said, who's adequate for these things? We are not like many who are peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, we're speaking from God. We speak in Christ, or getting it from Christ in the sight of him. Think about that. Every time you go to a Home Depot and God opens a door with a thought, go over to aisle 18. But, Lord, I need some new screws. Okay, I'll go over to aisle 18. Or you go to the grocery store or the market or wherever, you know, whatever they have in your society. I mean, you know, folks, we got folks listening to this from all over the world. I'm not kidding you, we do. And every one of them is in the same boat as every other new creation man. We all just want to be in step with the Spirit of God. So we speak as if we are in the presence of him, because we are. I like this about Acts 13, what God said about David. He said this, he said, I raised up David, Acts 13, 22. He raised up David to be their king, and concerning whom he also testified and said, I found David, the son of Jesse. He's a man after my heart. Who will what? He'll do. He'll do my will, all my will. Or, you know, in the Hebrew, it's the word wishes. He'll do what I wish. Isn't it awesome to think about? We can actually, you know, pick up on the wishes that God has, you know, the desires that God has in his heart. We can pick up on those and say, okay, I'll do that. Psalms 36, notice what David said. If David's a man that's after God's heart, and he does what he's willing to do whatever is in the heart of Father, he said this in Psalms 36, 7 through 9. He said, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink the fill of the abundance of your house. And you give them to drink of the river of your delights." Well, that's a complete violation of everything theologically that gets propagated about natural man. What gives? Well, notice what he says here. Because it all centers back to the source. He says, "The children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink the fill of the abundance of your house. You give them to drink of the rivers of your delights." Verse 9, "For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light." Can you say open doors? See, all of that he said about what man experiences, they experience it because it all started from the source. But because we noticed and hung around with the source, we simply passed on what we get. He shows us things, we pass it on. The result of that is what he starts off with, how natural man experiences the goodness of God and drinks from the rivers of his delights. Because how many know, contrary to what religion wants you to think, God delights in human beings? You know, I was at a copy store this morning, and I was there a couple weeks ago, and I left, and the Spirit of God said, "I want you to say something to the gal that is behind the counter." She had a particular name that meant something. You know, I looked up what the meaning was, and he said, "That's not what she is to me." And he said, "I want you to tell her that she's a jewel," and I said so. So I went in there this morning. You know, I took care of business, paid. And I said, "You know, I just want to tell you this. I was in here a couple weeks ago, and you know, as I was leaving, God told me to tell you something." And he said, "He wants you to know that to him you're a jewel. And he thinks you're absolutely amazing." Do you think that girl picked up a ream of paper and threw it at me?
No.
No. She stood there, and all she knew how to do is she just said, "Well, thank you." See, I don't need to worry about what happens after I leave.
Right.
It doesn't matter. What matters is, was I willing to deliver what I got? You know, the whole dinner together thing. I love for us to get to know each other. But I love even more for us to get to know somebody out there we don't know. And just train ourselves to give what we get.
Right.
And let him do the rest. Getting through the notes pretty quick here. Principle number 2. Kind of talked about this already. The little foxes may spoil the vine. We always hear about the little foxes that spoil the vine. But what about all the little steps you've made a decision to practice daily? The fact that that habit is going to take you to a higher realm with him all the time. Go over Revelation chapter 4. For the sake of time, I'll pick up next week on some of this stuff. But Revelation chapter 4. You guys get anything out of this? Look at verse 1. John speaking, and he says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me and said, 'Come up here.'" How many know when there's a door involved and you'll walk through that door, you're fixing to go up. The Spirit of God never takes you down. He wants to bring you up. In fact, that verse that talks about, you know, and Jesus talked about, "I'm giving you another comforter like me. He'll lead and guide you into all of the truth." In the Greek New Testament, that is the idea of he leads you up into things. The Spirit of God wants to lead us up into things. Could be personal habits. He wants to take you from where you are, change your personal habits along these lines, and bring you up into a better state of health. Or bring you into something that you're not right now. Bring you, you know, he gives you an idea for a business or an idea in your business, and he wants to bring you up into that, to bring you into a higher level of prosperity that he's already seen from the end. I told you about, you know, my situation when I had a business. I'll tell you what, if I hadn't listened to him during when things tanked, I would have been in business for about 5 years. Because I would have been too afraid, too chicken, you know, well, I'll just say it this way, too afraid to cross the chicken line to go into avenues of business that I actually had zero training for, had no knowledge of, and didn't know what to do. So part of it was out of sheer survival. But the fact is, you know what? You know, we always talk about, well, God does these things to you to teach you things. But you know what? If you use Jesus as your role model, all of the things that he's trying to teach you in the midst of pressures is not he's trying to beat you down and get you see how you can last. He's trying to get you to go inward, pay attention to what's in your spirit, so he can lead you through all the mess that's externally making all the noise. That's how Jesus trained himself. In Hebrews it says that he learned through the things that he suffered. It wasn't because God was beating on him to see how good of a man he was and if he was gonna hold up. It was the fact that in the midst of all the external stuff going on, he had to learn, just like you, when he came into the earth as a man, he had to learn, this is how a man functions. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He had to learn how to submit himself up under that which he was hearing. That's literally what those verses say. So, let's pay attention and establish the little steps, because there's an open door in heaven. He's trying to get you to come up. Amen? Luke 6:40, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Aren't you glad that you're a person who is going to allow the Spirit of God to fully train you how to live here? And then you can truly say, if you've seen me, you've seen Father. Because Jesus said that. But you can only say, if you've seen me, you've seen Father, if you're taking the exact same steps that he's showing you to take. You can't go off and live your life how you want to and say, "Well, if you've seen me, you've seen Father." No, we've seen you. They only see Father if we stay in step with him. Right? But I love that. You come to the place of being fully trained, guys, watch out. You're just like Jesus. To the public eye, you'll look just, you'll function exactly the way he functioned. If they looked at your life and looked at how they experienced in things in your presence, and then they go and flip over from the book of Acts or the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they'll see the same exact methods of ministering what Daddy had for the people from Jesus in print as from you, because you got it from Jesus who's still alive, and he still functions exactly the same way. Amen. Just as we train ourselves to override, disregard, ignore the thoughts, impressions, and leadings of the Spirit of God, who's trying to lead us into all truth, we can also train ourselves to notice and act on the same, not having to know why. This next verse, we always use this for natural men trying to get them into the kingdom. Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. In other words, turn around and follow me. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him. That's not even talking about a natural man. It's talking about, he's talking to the church, because we know that, because at the very end in verse 22 he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. But he's talking about this fellowship of opening these doors, responding to what he's given you in his situation. You know, the verse that says, and we didn't go through this, but, well, I guess it is the next verse. He says, my voice, he said here in verse 20 again, Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will dine with him, and he with me, and he will overcome. Why will he overcome? Because he listened to me and went with what I said. He opened the door and we got together. He said, he who has an ear, let him hear. Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. That word acknowledge literally means to perceive, to find out, to discern, to discriminate, to distinguish, or I love this, to know by experience. To recognize or be acquainted with. It's not just throwing him a mental bone. It means you've done this enough that you're acquainted with when he says things to you. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, or you could say respect him. Reverence him. Verse 8, it'll be healing to your body and refreshments to your bone. Then he talks about honoring the Lord in verse 9. And then in verse 11, he calls it discipline. See, we've got a twisted version of what discipline is. We talk about, no, it's no wonder the body of Christ doesn't understand when the Lord talks about discipline in whom he loves. He's talking about training you with his voice. Even the children of Israel, he told them that. He said, I've disciplined you, I've trained you by my voice. Jesus gave us the Spirit of God so that he would teach us all things. That's discipline. He's training us. Galatians 1, Paul said, God was pleased to reveal in me his Son. And he said, and I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. In that context, he's talking about men. But let me tell you something. Let's just bring it down to a personal context. When God speaks to you about something, whether it's a promise for your business, or it's a promise for you personally, or it's a promise for your family, or in our situation, things that he's spoken to us about our future, Paul is saying the way the kingdom system works is you get it from him and you shut up. You don't go talking to anybody else about it, and also you don't go and confer to your own head. Because last time I checked, your own mind is flesh and blood, right? Right? How many know he could have talked himself out of what he was getting and said, well, that's not what so-and-so is teaching, and he would have missed it. So the way the kingdom system works is we get it from him, we keep it with him, and we keep our focus on him, and we let him do the rest. Whether we understand it or not, it doesn't matter. We don't need to know why. The worst thing we can do for your kids is to teach them to always tell them why when you tell them to do something. They'll grow up and be adults, and they'll always have to know why before they act. You just crippled them. When I was a kid, all I got was, because I said so. And then we're back to what we started with. If we'll train our spirit to recognize and act on what comes from the Spirit of God now, or from our spirit, we won't be asking the Lord to use me and bless me later, because you'll already be there. Amen. Did you guys get anything out of this? I'm telling you, God's taking you a good place. But I'll tell you this too. He's also taking you a place where your mind's going to scream. Your mind's going to say, but wait. It's going to give you all the good reasons why that's not so. Why that won't work. Why you shouldn't say that. Why this and why that. That's when we learn to be like Jesus, go with what we got, keep our eyes trained on the whites of our daddy's eyes, and don't get off of that. I don't care if things get good. Keep your eyes on him, because you're not done. Amen? Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, go ahead and stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. And we so appreciate you teaching us your ways. And I always speak for everybody in this room when I say we want to be a people that are branded with your presence. Thank you for taking us where you're taking us. Thank you for your blessing upon all of these people, on their businesses and in their families. Thank you that it gives you great pleasure to speak through the open door and say, come up here. And we just tell you, Jesus, that we are that people. To listen and do it. We won't ignore the little things because we know they're taking us to a greater place. Father, I'd ask that you'd make yourself even more real to these people this week. And as they step out and they are reminded by your Spirit of the things that you told them today, that they would act on these things until we've all made them just the way we are. So we can, we don't have to be phony spiritual, because we already are spiritual. We just listen to you and we know and we act on those things and they take us to a higher place. And I just thank you for it. I thank you for everyone in this room. And I thank you for all of those that are listening, and I thank you for all the ones that you have coming. Because you're going to take us well beyond 100, 200, 300. And I just love you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Well, go live blessed because you are.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.